Maureen Ochiai, and I'm delighted to see you all here on this very early, beautiful morning in Chicago. I have been working in public health for more than 20 years now, and started learning healthy people back when I was a graduate student. And I know that several of you here indicated that you know healthy people, but can I ask for people to raise their hands if you actually use it? Okay, very good. Very interesting. It's always helpful to know. So I have nothing to disclose. So I'm here to talk to you about a little bit about the social determinants of health. One of the things that is really interesting about healthy people is that while we started in 1979 as the first ever public health initiative to measure and benchmark the health of the nation, we have been increasingly moving upstream in terms of what are the factors that influence our health. And while it started initially with morbidity and mortality measures, we have increasingly moved upstream, and we now have a full chapter on the social determinants of health. And as Teresa mentioned earlier, 40% of the factors in our environment, 40% of our health is influenced by social and economic factors in the places where we live, work, and play. When we were developing Healthy People 2020, we decided to have an independent federal advisory committee that it was composed of internal and external subject matter experts from around the country. And we consulted with Michael Marmot, who is the World Health Organization's lead for social determinants of health. And they all decided and recommended to the Secretary of Health and Human Services that we have a specific focus on SDOH because of the incredibly important implication it has for the population's health. And so we moved forward with that and established the goal number 3 that you see here, which is creating social and physical environments that promote good health for all. What was unique about that is not only did we integrate that into Healthy People, but we have worked, we have leveraged the WHO's Commission on the Social Determinants of Health activity. We continue to work with them and with Sir Michael Marmot to make sure that we are trying to leverage one another's resources in this field that is increasingly expanding and growing in order to make sure that we can leverage the evidence and science that they have and what that we know around the world and integrate it into Healthy People. But it's also integrated into many of the disparities in health equity work that we do in HHS, including the National Partnership for Action to End Health Disparities. And it's actually been integrated into the National Prevention and Health Promotion Strategy. And as Teresa mentioned earlier, a number of the one of the requirements of the ACA and the NPS is that hospitals do health community assessments as part of keeping their tax status. And so many of the hospitals are actually using Healthy People now to benchmark and do their community health assessments. So to have SDOH in Healthy People is very useful. In terms of developing the topic area, one of the things that we decided to approach for SDOH was how are we going to tackle it? And SDOH is, it's not always a direct correlation. Some things are much more, it's more of a secondary approach to how different factors can influence health. So we always try in Healthy People to establish objectives that have specific measures. We have a baseline and we have a direction we generally want to go. So we decided to take a place-based approach to the SDOH topic area. And while at the beginning of the decade we had some objectives that related to SDOH, there were a number including things like parental employment that are now new and that we didn't have at the beginning of the decade. So we look at SDOH over the life course from adolescent health to aging all the way to maternal infant child health. And we prioritize these 5 key domains and associated factors. They include the neighborhood and built environment, economic stability, health and healthcare, education, and social community context. And each of these domains interacts with the other 4 and affect the health of each individual. So you can see that right here, here are the 5 domains. Within each of the 5 domains, we have specific priority areas that we are focusing in on. The priority areas allow us to look at different measures that we want to develop. We look for nationally representative measures that we can track over time. The neighborhood and built environment, for example, here is highlighting health and physical environments. The education domain highlights access to opportunities to learn and to work. The economic stability domain highlights the availability of resources to meet daily basic needs. The health and healthcare environment domain highlights access to health services and the ability to navigate the health system. And social and community context domain highlights family and social support and opportunities free of discrimination. We have been working in these areas both cross-sector and have been trying very hard to not only integrate a health and all approach, but also to make sure that we leverage the resources that are in other areas. So as we have mentioned earlier, one of the hallmarks of healthy people are that we have specific measures that we benchmark at the beginning of the decade and that we track over time. If you go to the Healthy People SDOH webpage now at healthypeople.gov, you can actually see measurable, nationally representative SDOH measures that we track. It identifies existing healthy people objectives from other topic areas that relate to the SDOH topic area, and all the objectives are organized by the five domains. So here are the SDOH objectives that are currently on the website. This doesn't include all the SDOH-related objectives from Healthy People, but just the ones that are specific to this topic area. Things like high school graduation come from adolescent health, the topic area adolescent health, and that is not listed here. But if you go to the webpage, it has all of those things listed. What's unique about this is that at the beginning of the decade in 2010 when we launched this, we didn't have any of this in Healthy People. But we do now. And every year, on a daily basis, we're constantly working to identify nationally representative objectives and measures that allow us to see where we are so that we can push forward the envelope, get policymakers to understand the importance and the trends and how they are changing over time. And when we add these objectives, we actually do a public comment period, which I'm going to get into in a little bit. So, for example, you can see here with SDOH-1, which is children living with an employed parent, since the launch of since 2010, you can see that the percent of children living with an employed parent has gone up slightly, but not significantly. There is a slight decline in the number of high school graduates who are enrolled in college in the past 3 years. You can also see that the number of people living in poverty has increased. There's a statistical significant increase. Also the same with children. The percentage of children who are living in poverty has increased slightly. And cost of housing is the most notable. So the percent of people who are living, who are spending a large amount of their income on housing has increased significantly and continues on an upward trend. This, of course, significantly impacts people's ability to have housing security, and that housing security relates to their health because then they have less resources to apply to their healthcare needs. And I'm going to actually go into a couple of examples that illustrate that for you. So our approach for the SDOH mimics the approach that Teresa shared with you earlier about our implementation plan. We track the SDOH objectives in order to see where we are, in order to provide policymakers and the public with benchmarks and with data that's scientifically based and nationally representative. We provide people with a visual that they can work with. We are working very rigorously to communicate the importance of SDOH and the evidence supporting their connection to health, public health, and health equity. We are identifying actionable strategies and interventions and resources to address the SDOH, because one of the things that we found from our users, particularly stakeholders in the field, where the real work is done, is that when we put out objectives, people want to know, what are we supposed to do with that? What do we do in our community in order to make progress, to take action, to make a difference? And so we have been working to put those out there. We also have been trying to leverage and develop collaborative cross-sector relationships, promoting health and all policies, working with Department of Justice, working with Department of Transportation, Housing and Urban Development, Veterans Affairs, even with the Department of Defense, because these are not these issues are not specific and only to HHS. We even work with the Department of Education. And then we promote and support SDOH at the tribal, state, and local levels. All of the work that's being done at the local levels and that communities are doing are really important and need to be recognized for the value that they're contributing. So we try very hard to identify communities when we're aware of them that are doing great work that can be replicated and can be can help people save time in terms of having to reinvent the wheel. So in terms of communicating the importance of the SDOH, Teresa mentioned that we have these 12 leading health indicators, which are considered to be the high priority areas for reducing disease and illness. They are a smaller set that have been selected to really communicate the importance of, if you only had so much time in a day, what would we focus on in Healthy People's 1200 measures? Focus on these 12. And social determinants of health, as you can see here, has been identified as one of the 12 leading health indicators. That's a big thing. You know, for the government to say the 12 leading health indicators in our country include social determinants of health, that was a big step for the department. The target for the social determinants of health leading health indicator is to increase high school graduation rates to 82.4% by 2020 from a baseline of 74.9% in 2007. A relationship between education and health has been very well established, and low educational attainment has been shown to lead to poor health status. So, for example, people with higher levels of education live longer lives. In 2006, a 25-year-old male without a high school diploma could expect to live 47 more years, and while a 25-year-old male who has graduated from high school could expect to live to 51 years more. So females with a bachelor degree could expect to live 8 more years than those without a high school diploma, and female high school graduates live 5 more years than those who have not graduated from high school. So there's a direct correlation with social determinants of health and health length of life. So to identify actionable strategies and interventions and resources to address the social determinants of health, we produce webinars that feature evidence-based resources and actionable strategies and interventions that stakeholders can use. These webinars are free. They're all online. They don't require anybody to travel. You can sign up to participate them. Some of them do provide continuing education units. Some of them don't. But either way, it's an opportunity for any individual around the country and even around the world. We have to have people join from around the world to listen and hear what the current status is of particular measures in Healthy People, and also to learn about evidence-based resources and strategies that they can implement. Here are some of the ways that we have highlighted SDOH. In the spring of this year, we actually had a webinar progress review that focused on SDOH and the LGBT issues related to, and then we highlighted things like the LA LGBT Center and how they have been integrating medical care and housing for different transgender populations and LGBT individuals. We have had two leading health indicator webinars since the start of the decade, one this summer and then one in 2012 that featured housing security and high school graduation. And then we had a Spotlight on Health webinar in 2013. So in addition to highlighting and recognizing the work that is being done in the data and in the evidence-based resources, we try to recognize and highlight the work that's being done at the state and local level. And these webinars showcase communities that are addressing SDOH. And then as part of our ongoing efforts to promote health in all policies, we continuously work with partners such as the Community Guide to identify evidence-based resources and recommendations. Some of you may be familiar with the Community Guide and the Clinical Guide to Preventive Services. These are task force that do rigorous reviews of all the published literature systematic reviews, and then they actually develop recommendations around whether or not interventions should be done based on the level of evidence that's available. So, for example, one of the evidence-based resources that was released this past week is one by the Community Guide to Preventive Services. As Teresa mentioned, it will be integrated into our evidence-based resource tool and related to the Healthy People objectives. Children in low-income and racial and ethnic minority families often experience delays in language and other development by the age of 3. So compensating for these delays before children begin regular schooling can be critical to providing them with opportunities for educational attainment associated with lifelong employment and income, ultimately reducing the achievement gap and advancing health equity. Center-based early childhood education programs are designed to prepare children for school. And in 2010, less than half of the children and families in the lowest income quartile were enrolled in early childhood education programs. And the quality of these programs was lower than programs attended by higher income families. So this past week, after a systematic review of all the evidence and literature that's available, the Community Guide actually issued a recommendation that early childhood education programs should be provided to improve health for low-income children. So one of the things that we wanted to talk about today here was how do we overcome some of the obstacles related to SDOH. And this is really one of the things that we feature in the webinars that we put out. So for example, housing and housing security and the environment in which you live makes a big difference in terms of your health. We had earlier this year, we did a webinar on the Leading Health Indicator for SDOH, and we featured housing security and the environment. And we featured the HUD-led and Healthy Homes program. So currently there are 160 active lead and healthy home grantees represented in the 10 HUD regions. What HUD does, for example, we feature that they have a grant program where they provide grantees with funds to remediate homes from lead and repair them in ways that prevent mold and asthma. There are 7 healthy home production grantees currently, 99 lead-based paint hazard control grantees, 54 lead hazard reduction demonstration grantees, and since 1993, these grantees have made over 190,000 housing units lead safe and healthy for residents. So you can see here in this picture that the house is not only remediated of lead, but things like the downspouts that you see here, where water was seeping into the house and creating mold issues, which were hazardous, have been repaired and have improved the environment in which individuals have been living. The lead-based paint hazard control and lead reduction demonstration program currently it will fund this year over 6,000 homes to be safer and healthier. And they help to mitigate multiple health hazards and high-risk housing alongside their lead hazard control efforts. Another one of the examples that we like to feature are different advocacy groups that are doing work that's really impressive. So there is an organization called the Children's Health Watch, and they are a group of physicians, social workers in different cities, including Boston, Delaware, and others, that actually provide care to individuals and children. They actually database and bank information about the individuals that they treat. And we featured, we shared with folks in the community, our stakeholders, whether linking housing and food assistance through streamlined application process could improve housing security for children. Now, as I mentioned, these relate to SDOH objectives related to housing security and how much you're spending on housing, that if you have spending more on housing, you're spending less on other things. And those are SDOH objectives 4.1.1, 4.1.2, 4.2.1, and 4.2.2. And the analysis found that the association between the receipt of housing subsidies, WIC, and SNAP was directly related to housing security. Researchers found that housing subsidies increase housing security among low-income urban families with young children. Specifically, the group receiving housing subsidies combined with nutrition benefits was most strongly associated with higher odds of housing security. And the study suggests that promoting both housing and nutrition assistance and improving access to these subsidies could increase family housing security, which in turn could positively impact children's health. So what the Children's Health Watch does is that when individuals come in to receive health care, they actually sign them up for housing subsidies. They also sign them up for WIC and SNAP, if it's appropriate, and it has provided them with a more holistic approach to the individuals who are being seen. We also have we have developed a SDOH resource portal that you can find on the healthypeople.gov website. It's arranged by domain, and this is responsive to our ongoing stakeholder input and needs. So for example, one of our Midwestern Healthy People coordinators shared with us that they wanted resources that demonstrate what national, state, and local communities are doing and are identified by domain. So you can actually go to the website and find those there. They provide practical examples of ongoing work that's being done in the U.S. and other nations. And in response to our ongoing obstacles to overcome more information that is useful in terms of setting policy, we are always pushing forward to develop new objectives in SDOH. So there are currently two objectives related, one related to parental incarceration, specifically the proportion of children who are living or have lived with an individual who was previously or is currently incarcerated. That is one new objective that is currently out for public comment. If you're interested, we would welcome your input, and you could go onto the website to provide us with your comments. We also have one related to civic participation, specifically the proportion of people who participate in voting, because that relates to their ability to participate in a social community context. So in addition to commenting on those two objectives, you are free to provide us with input on objectives that you think should be part of Healthy People. We have used the public comment period not only to help identify data sources for objectives that were being proposed for removal, but also to identify new objectives that really need to be looked into. And it's a dynamic process that allows us to get input from the community and all the stakeholders who are working in the field. So we really would like to hear from you, so I would encourage you to go on. Now, in terms of continuing to assess progress, we will continue to have Leading Health Indicator webinars and bulletins every year. We do. We will focus on the SDOH Leading Health Indicator once a year, either as a bulletin or a webinar. We also are currently engaged in the production of the Healthy People Mid-Course Review, which will do a full assessment of all the SDOH objectives, and that is expected to be released in the fall of next year. Okay, so if you're interested in more information, we, you know, as you've seen from Teresa, we encourage you to go to the website, sign up for the listserv. You can get notifications of all of our webinars. We also, you can follow us on Twitter, and we have a LinkedIn handle.